I would like to call to order the January 13th, 2021 meeting of the TPA's Citizens Advisory Committee. The Palm Beach TPA is conducting this meeting both in person and virtually using the Zoom webinar platform. The TPA selected this platform because it does not require the public to purchase or download any additional software or equipment to attend this meeting. The public will have no discernible difference in their ability to watch the meeting from that of someone physically attending the meeting. Instruction to join this virtual meeting, as well as contact information for a TPA staff member to assist you, are provided in the published meeting agenda. Before we begin, I will summarize our public comment procedure for this virtual meeting. Written comments may be submitted online at the website provided in the agenda. Verbal comments may be made by a virtual attendee using the raised hand feature in the Zoom platform. Lastly, a verbal and or written comment may be provided by an in-person attendee submitting a comment card available at the welcome table. Please call the roll so we can establish a quorum.
So Terry, oh, actually, I just realized, Mr. Chair, I believe I have Terry waiting. I'm sorry. So while he gets connected, Mark Bruner. And you'll need to unmute on your side. Mark, are you there? And then...
I'm here now. I'm sorry. I'm here.
Okay. No, it's okay. Wen Dang is excused. Greg Fagan.
Here.
Michael Fitzpatrick. Here. Glenn Harvey.
Here.
Jason Metcalf is excused. Albert Richwagen.
Can you hear?
Can you hear Terry Brown?
Yes, I can.
You have a picture of Lucy Brown there, but...
it's okay while you get connected. So thank you, Terry. Ryan Rossi, Paula Ryan, Myra Newman.
Here.
Richard Vasilotti.
Here.
We do not have a quorum in person, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Moving on. Okay. Modifications to the agenda. This is, okay. Are there any modifications to the agenda?
Yes, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Chair, pursuant to state law, a quorum of the CAC must be physically present at the advertised meeting site in order to conduct the meeting and take action as a body. Due to a quorum not being present, the meeting will move forward as information only, with the committee being able to provide staff feedback by consensus. Additionally, we will defer action items 1C, adoption of the October minutes, 1D, adoption of the December minutes, and 2A, election of 2021 officers to our February 3rd meeting.
Due to a lack of quorum in person, this item will be deferred to the February CAC meeting. Again, that's approval of minutes for October 7th. For approval of minutes for December 2nd, due to a lack of quorum in person, this item will be deferred to the February CAC meeting. General public comments and public comments on the agenda. Are there any general comments been received?
No, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Comments from the chair and member comments. I would like to welcome Richard Vasilotti as appointed by County Commissioner Melissa McKinley to the CAC as a new member. One thing you must know, Richard, is that these meetings are recorded and available for review at a later date. If Richard, would you please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background?
Hi there, thank you for having me.
My name is Richard Vassalotti. I'm a West Palm Beach native of over 50 years, born and raised here. I served 30 years with Palm Beach County Fire Rescue, retiring 2 years ago as a captain out in the acreage. Half of my career actually has been spent out in the acreage, where I had a lot of experience with traffic issues. Also had a nice working relationship with automatic aid agreements with City of West Palm and Palm Beach Gardens Fire Rescue. I became involved with this, I believe, after so many years of seeing such tragic events that I thought could be dealt with and mitigated. I started speaking a lot about certain instances that we had, particularly in the acreage, maybe along North Lake Boulevard. And I was recognized by certain people with what I've seen and some of my ideas I've had. So I was asked by Commissioner McKinley and Michelle Damone to be part of this transportation planning agency, CAC, and I happily accepted the offer. I'm also married. My wife's a firefighter, and I have two amazing children. Thank you.
Thank you, and welcome to the committee.
Thank you so much.
If any other committee member has a comment for the committee, please utilize the raise hand function of the Zoom platform to ask to be recognized, and then remember to unmute your microphone once you are recognized. Does any other member have a comment?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I have that Myron Uman has his hand raised.
Thank you.
I have actually two comments, and they're both in the way of a suggestion for future activities of this committee. If I remember correctly, it's been about 5 or 6 years since the committee has had a briefing on the activities at the port. And the same amount of time since the in that context, a discussion of the prospects for what's called the intermodal transfer station or the inland port project. And I think it would be useful to the committee to improve our understanding of transportation issues in the county to have another an update and sometime in the near future. I hope that we can do that. The second thing on my mind actually is sea level rise. I just received one of my science journals yesterday with the latest estimates on sea level rise are that sometime between 2040 and 2060, coastal areas will be experiencing 100-year floods every year. The sea level is rising much faster in the last decade than had been projected. And I know that the TPA has considered the problem of the infrastructure exposed to sea level rise in the past. And I hope that we can keep that on our agenda somehow and maybe get in the future, have a briefing on the planning for the eventuality, because sea level rise is within significant sea level rise is within the time frame of our current long range transportation plan. And the question is the extent to which we are anticipating that. That's what I had to say.
Thank you, Myron. Margie, how do we continue that? Just put that in the minutes, or do we discuss it today, or
you can,
how do we proceed?
You can, as a consensus of the committee, you can give direction to staff for those two items. And then my staff will move forward with your request.
Okay. Do we? How do we achieve a consensus?
So as long as all the committee members present If you want to take a vote, it can just be a verbal vote that you're all in agreement for to give direction to staff on the two items, one regarding the port and the other regarding sea level rise that Myron brought up.
I'd like to get an indication on the first, which is the port, having a port presentation. All in favor, say aye.
Well, we can have a discussion. Maybe other members have a view.
Okay, but in reality, we're asking for a presentation from the port. Yeah, I think it would be more appropriate to have a discussion after the port makes the presentation than prior.
And then, Mr. Chair, it wouldn't be a vote per se that you would any aye or oppose, just if there's any objections, I guess that would be a better way to say it. If there's anyone that objects,
okay.
No one does, then we can move forward with directing staff for those two items.
Thank you. All right. Does anybody object to inviting the port to come and make a presentation to us at a future meeting this first half of this year?
No.
Seeing none, I request the TPA to bring that to fruition. The second item was sea level rise. Does anybody have a comment on whether we should have somebody make a presentation, either FDOT, TPA, or somebody of that nature, on their views of sea level rise and how it will affect the TPA's program? Seeing none, I request Margie that we have the TPA or FDOT or the appropriate agency make that presentation to us again in the first half of 2021.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Sorry, and then Michael Fitzpatrick has a comment. Michael, you'll need to turn your microphone on.
Comment about who to give the report. I'd rather FDOT to find out what their current thinking is. I bet you it's behind the times, but you know, the TPA, we already know kind of what they think, I believe. So I'd like to see what Tallahassee thinks. Thank you. So I'd prefer FDOT.
As noted. Anybody else have a comment? If not, let's have the DOT make the presentation, please. Any other comments?
I do not see any other hands raised, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Next, the CAC liaison's report. Jason, would you please review the liaison report?
Yes. Thank you and good afternoon, everyone. There's a few short items here. It's up on the screen here. We also have printed versions out front if anyone would like a printed copy. It's pretty brief. There's only five items here. First one, the January TPA Governing Board meeting will be held on January 21st. It'll be both in person and virtually, and that's where I will present the draft tentative work program that I'll present to you today. Next is the Palm Beach County Mobility Planning Summit. Palm Beach County is hosting a virtual summit on January 14th, 2021 of this year. So if you're if you like the opportunity to participate or find out more, you can go to discover.pbcgov.org. And also our Safe Street Summit. This year, the TPA is hosting the Safe Street Summit. It's a collaboration between the other MPOs in the area from Broward and Miami. So all three of us are collaborating to put on the Safe Street Summit, and we will be the host. It will be virtually, and it'll be on January 28th to 29th. And the last day to register is January 22nd. So if you're interested, please visit safestreetsummit.org to register and get more information about it. Next is the AV America Autonomous Vehicle and Public Transportation Virtual Summit. The virtual summit event will be held on February 2nd and 3rd of this year. And the mission of the conference is to discuss the current status, future plans, and best practices of deployment of AVs, automated vehicles. So for more information, you can go to www.autonomousvehicleandpublictransportation.org. avamerica.org/events. And lastly, the high visibility enforcement funds for pedestrian and bicycle safety. And this is FDOT funding that's available for law enforcement agencies to conduct high visibility enforcement operations to improve pedestrian and bicyclist safety. And you can find out more at alerttodayflorida.com/HVE. And that's all I have. Chair.
Thank you. Staff, are there any public comments on this item?
No, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Do any committee members have any comments or questions on the liaison's report? Seeing none, first action item 2A, motion to elect officers. Due to a lack of quorum in person, this item will be deferred to the February CAC meeting. Thank you. Next, motion to recommend endorsement of Florida Department of Transportation fiscal year 2022 to 2026 draft tentative work program. Jason, would you please present this item, followed by John
Podsawinski.
Thank you.
Yep. I practice it a little more. So, good afternoon, everyone. As mentioned, my name is Jason Price. I'm the TIP coordinator. That's the five-year
Jason,
plan.
Can you get closer to your microphone, please?
Yes. I was just about to do that. Thank you, Myron. So today I'll present to you the fiscal year 2022 to 2026 FDOT tentative work program. The TPA compiles a summary of the FDOT work program, and John will provide a little more information after my presentation to further the discussion. As a reminder, well, we don't have a quorum, so I don't think we'll take a vote on it. So just getting this to advance. Okay, just to go over the mission of the TPA, just to review it and remind the group that the TPA mission is to collaboratively plan, prioritize, and fund the transportation system. And through the draft tentative work program, we are focusing on the fund portion of the TPA mission as stated above. So why are we... why are we looking at the draft tentative work program for the TPA? Through Florida statute, the FDOT program, the district work program shall be developed cooperatively with the TPA and include to the maximum extent feasible the projects prioritized by the TPA. In addition, FDOT shall make a presentation to the TPA. FDOT will make a presentation to the TPA to determine the necessity of making any changes to the work program, as well as to hear requests for new projects to be added or existing projects to be deleted from the work program. We've put together a graphic to illustrate the development of the TIP document. So you can see the process we went through to adopt the active TIP, as well as the development of the next TIP we are reviewing today. It starts with the list of priority projects that's developed by the TPA and was adopted in July 2020. That list of priority projects is then provided to the DOT, and they incorporate to the best of their ability the projects that the TPA provides to them to then create the draft tentative work program that is before you today. So what we'll be reviewing is the TPA priority projects, the FDOT strategic intermodal system projects, and other projects of significance. This slide is another illustration, but indicates the total funding in the work program by project section that's listed in the TIP, and also the funding breakdown for each section within the TIP. And you can see the CIS capacity has the lion's share of the funding. And of that is the Turnpike projects, which uses Turnpike revenues. And we'll see a list of those projects later on in the presentation. So I'll go over three of the main priorities or sections that the TPA covers, and that's the state road modifications, local initiatives, and transportation alternatives. To start, I'll start with the state road modification projects. Those are projects that are from our long-range transportation plan and smaller projects selected annually. This program has a five-year target of about $134 million in federal and state funds, and there's approximately $188 million programmed in this year's draft tentative work program. One of the main highlights of the state road modifications is the State Route 80 lighting, which has been programmed with for construction in fiscal year 26. As $13 million allocated to construction from the local initiatives grant funding program, which will inevitably impact the local initiatives grant program and the amount of funding available. The next highlight is on US 1 from Palmetto Park to North Lake Boulevard transit shelters. There was $5 million in construction funds added for fiscal year 25. There's also Atlantic Avenue widening from Lyons Road to Jog Road, where $5 million was added for right-of-way. And lastly, Palm Beach County and Boca Raton signal improvements have been added to the draft tentative work program with design in fiscal year 26. In addition to those projects, there's also some projects that have been delayed or not programmed within the state road modifications. The first one being the PD&E for Tri-Rail extension to Jupiter has again been delayed, this time till fiscal year 2023. There's also the Atlantic Avenue widening from State Route 7 to Lyons Road, which was also delayed to fiscal year 2024. And the last one here is Lakeworth Road transit signal prioritization that was not funded. The next program I'll go over is the Local Initiatives Grant Program. Now, this is an annual competitive grant program where municipalities apply for funding for projects in their within their area. And there's a five-year target of approximately $100 million in federal and state funds. And the draft tentative work program this year has about $72 million in funding, with the remaining on state road modification projects. Now I'll go over some of the highlights for local initiatives that you'll see in the draft tentative work program. First, there's five projects that were prioritized this year, but were not programmed with funding due to insufficient funding because of the State Route 80 lighting that I mentioned previously. So our recommendation from the TPA is for projects not programmed to be reprioritized at the top of the new local initiatives application cycle for this coming year. This will inevitably limit the amount of funding availability for new submittal applications for this cycle in 2021, which will close February 26 will be the end of the application cycle. So instead of having $20 million available per year in this cycle, there will most likely be more closer to $7 or $8 million available within local initiatives. There's some other highlights in addition to that, and one of them is Delray Beach requested some project delays, which are Lindell Boulevard and Barwick Road. The construction was delayed from fiscal year 22 to 23, and also required the moving, the delay of the construction for the Brant Bridge Connector from the Brant Bridge Connector project from fiscal year 23 to 25, as well as the Germantown Road project was delayed from fiscal year 23 to 24. Lastly, there is one project that is accelerating and that has been accelerated to fiscal year 22, and that's the Town of Palm Beach signal interconnect with bringing those signals online with the rest of the Palm Beach County signal system. I'll now go over the Transportation Alternatives Program, which is the other annual competitive grant program that the TPA administers. This is a bit of a smaller pot of funds, which is $9 million in federal and state funds with a three-year target. And this year, in the draft tentative work program for 22 through 24, we see funding of approximately $11 million. Unlike the Local Initiatives Program, there was four new projects that were funded through to construction in fiscal year 24. And those are listed below here. First is the ADA curb ramps and sidewalks in Lake Worth Beach. Next is the Kyoto Gardens Drive bike lanes and pathway in Palm Beach Gardens. Cherry Road shared use pathway for the Westgate CRA. And lastly, Palm Trans sidewalk connections and ADA upgrades for approximately 110 bus stops. That was only partially funded, but the majority was funded. Now I'll go through the mainline projects for FDOT. And these are the strategic intermodal system projects, and I'll give you an overall summary of the major changes for the I-95 interchanges. First is High Paluxa Road. The design phase was delayed from fiscal year 21 to 2022. Indian Town Road was also delayed with construction from fiscal year 23 to 24. Linton Boulevard was delayed in construction from fiscal year 25 to 26. And North Lake Boulevard had $41 million in construction fund added in fiscal year 26. And 45th Street added $13 million to construction in fiscal year 26. I wanted to point out, when you see fiscal year 26, that is what we consider the new fifth year of the draft tentative work program. So the TIP covers 5 years, and this draft tentative work program adds the fiscal year 26 to the Transportation Improvement Program. So when you see that is the new year and the new round of funding that is coming online. Continuing with mainline projects, I'll review the turnpike projects that I mentioned previously in the beginning when you saw the funding break out in the bar chart. So here there's a number of widening projects that are planned for the turnpike within Palm Beach County. The first being widening from 6 lanes to 8 lanes with an auxiliary lane from Palm Beach County line to north of Glades Road. The next are all widening projects from 4 lanes to 8 lanes, starting at the West Palm Beach Service Plaza to Southern Boulevard, and then continuing on from Southern Boulevard to north of Okeechobee Boulevard, and then from Okeechobee Boulevard to Beeline Highway. In total, with a few other projects, there is approximately $728 million worth of work being planned and programmed on the turnpike over the next 5 years. There's also some new FDOT projects that we'll now go over. There's approximately 5 new safety projects included in the draft tentative work program using federal safety funds. And if you recall last meeting, I provided an amendment to the TIP to add safety projects using federal safety funds. So in addition to the amendment, the board also passed a resolution requesting FDOT to conduct a call for safety projects to create a more formal process to collaborate with locals, the TPA, and FDOT on prioritizing these funds. And FDOT is working through the process to develop a way to accommodate that. There is also 12 new resurfacing projects within the draft tentative work program with construction in fiscal year 25. With these 12 new resurfacing projects, this is the TPA's opportunity to evaluate those corridors and to implement additional complete streets and safety improvements while they're doing this resurfacing work. At this point, I'd like to invite John Podzawinski up from the FDOT, and he'll continue the discussion and give you more information.
Good afternoon, everybody. John Podzawinski, for the record, with Florida Department of Transportation. I work in the MPO liaison team, planning supervisor over the MPO liaison team. And basically what our team does is we are the contract representatives for
FDOT. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I can't hear. Can you speak to the mic?
Sure.
There you go. Much better.
Okay, great. So again, my name is John Podzawinski. I'm the planning supervisor for FDOT's liaison team. And that liaison team is the MPO liaison team. And our role is essentially to act as the contract managers as we interface with the TPA here. So today I'm gonna do my best to try and help represent our work program team and their speaking points. I apologize in advance if I'm unable to answer maybe some of your questions because the work program is not my area of specialty, but I'll do my best to present the talking points. So again, my name is John Podzawinski. Let's see, and today we're representing the, or we're presenting the department's draft tentative work program for FY 21-22 through FY 25-26. And as Jason had mentioned earlier, FY 25-26 being the new fifth year where most new projects are programmed into. We're here a little bit later today than the normal cycle. So we'd like to thank you all for working with us to get through this delayed meeting. The delay was necessary due to the Department of Transportation receiving our revenue estimates and allocations a little bit later than we had anticipated. This year, the state, let's give you the state of the state. This cycle, developing this 22 through 26 work program began in spring. With some informal meetings when we received your LOPPs, the TPA's list of priority projects, as Jason had outlined prior to this. So we want to thank everybody here for your part in participating to develop that. Currently, the draft tentative work program is going out right now to all of our technical advisory committees and CACs, as well as the agencies, the MPO agencies. The district, District 4 has a public hearing scheduled for Tuesday, January 26th, beginning at 6:30 p.m. That hearing will be held at the District 4 headquarters in Fort Lauderdale. That's at 3400 West Commercial Boulevard. If anybody needs the specific address or location for that, I could be glad to provide that to you. Individuals can elect to participate in that meeting via webinar if you don't feel like making the trip down there, and we'll provide the link to that webpage if needed. So upon completion of all of the various public meetings, including the one at District 4 headquarters with regard to the work program, our central office will compile all of the district work program information, and it will conduct a statewide public hearing on March 1st, 2021. The legislative session will then convene on March 2nd, 2021. And at that, the FDOT secretary will adopt the work program in July of 2021. And this process will again begin next spring for the FY 23 through 27 work program development. At the TAC meeting earlier today, our own Ms. Leslie Wetherell, who leads our work program group, gave an update based on the August 2020 revenue estimating conference, which detailed state and federal funds. And with that conference came the following notes that there is a reduced allocation or commitment statewide of approximately $1.36 billion through FY25-26. That's statewide. Revenue reductions across the board occurred due to less gas tax being collected, due to decreased consumption of motor fuel and other fuels. And that basically means that there are less people on the roads this calendar year, and the people that are on the roads tend to be driving more fuel-efficient vehicles, such as hybrids and electric vehicles. The percentage of those is increasing in the vehicles that are on the road. Another revenue resource, aside from gas tax, is dock stamps. The revenue from that, from dock stamps this year has been relatively stable. Dock stamps are revenue collected with real estate transactions. The next one is a surcharge that we collect for rental vehicles. That surcharge, the funds that are collected there, have significantly decreased over the year due to the reduction in tourism, which resulted in a reduction in the number of vehicles that were rented in the state of Florida. There were also fewer initial vehicle registrations, which is another funding source. And finally, the final bullet note here is that increases in design and construction estimating or construction engineering costs and increases in right-of-way costs also contribute to the overall loss in the program. There's a note here that the FAST Act, the federal bill, has been extended through September 30th, 2021. The expectation with the federal funding is business as usual. And the estimates, the next point that we have here with regard to estimates for projects, there were evidently there were some increases along the way. So in the preparation of the tentative work program, we are required to update annually our cost estimates for both construction and right-of-way. Those costs have increased over time. So overall, our estimates continue to increase when we update our long-range estimates on that annual basis. So you may notice that some projects may cost different in this work program than they cost in prior work programs. Due to funding revenue decreases and the project cost increases, our goal this year, the work program goal, was to maintain what we already had in the common four in the first 4 years related to safety, preservation and maintenance, capacity projects that may have been impacted in your area. If new phases of projects were programmed, they were generally programmed into the new fifth year. And with that, there are two documents that we submit for your review. The first being the citizens report, and then there being a district-wide citizens report. The first one being a Palm Beach citizens report. And with that, if you guys have any project-specific questions, I'll be glad to take those questions. I'm not sure that I'll be able to answer very many of those for you, but I'll be glad to take those questions back to the folks that had this work program and get your answers as quickly as possible.
Okay. Before we start, are there any public comments on this item?
No, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Do any committee members have any comments?
I have Michael Fitzpatrick with his hand raised and Myron Uman with his hand raised.
Thank you. Michael?
In regard to the lost revenue and they're just going to try preserving things, how does that relate to those toll roads in the panhandle to nowhere that are being funded? Are they still going forward if in this light of this revenue loss?
Well, I believe you're referencing the MCORS roads, sir, and I won't venture to answer that question at this point. What I'd like to do is actually defer in a moment here over to our own Victoria Williams, who is with the Turnpike Authority. Turnpike Enterprise, and she, I'm sure that she would like to give you an element of her presentation and can also answer the MCORS question for you.
Okay, another, well, maybe that's her too, but another question is, how much gas tax money comes out of Palm Beach County and how much comes back?
I'll be glad to look into that for you. I don't have the specific figures in front of me though.
I think my understanding is we're losing money, so's Broward, so's Miami. It doesn't seem to me that the three southern counties get much of return for their paying money out to FDOT. I don't understand why. Personally, it seems to me we're getting the short end of the stick from FDOT for decades. That's all.
Thank you. Myron, please. Unmute yourself, Myron.
All right. I wanted to ask Jason why we did not get the FDOT scheduling report as of this meeting, so that we could compare FDOT's internal scheduling with what's in the draft work plan.
I'll request it from, I've already requested it. It maybe just didn't make it into the packet, but I do have it available and I'll send it out after the meeting.
Yeah, the last one we've had was dated, I believe, October. So
I request it each month and I provide it to all of the committees. It may not have made it into the packet, but
yeah.
I've requested it. I have it and I will send it to you after this meeting.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
The only other hand I have raised, Mr. Chair, is Victoria Williams from the Turnpike.
Please. I'm
just about to turn over to Victoria. Victoria, thank you.
Thank you, John and Margie. And Chair, I'll start the quick presentation and overview of the Florida Turnpike Enterprise Work Program. The difference on the funding for the Turnpike is that we use this money from toll revenue to fund the projects. So what we're showing you is the District 4 Turnpike Work Program. It's quite vast this year, quite a bit of money into the...
Is there a way for you to utilize your picture instead of your name?
Well, I have it up if and Margie wants to open it.
Victoria, he's asking for a your video. Glenn, she doesn't have a camera that she can turn on. However, my staff is going to share the screen shortly.
Okay, thank you.
Excellent. Oh, thanks, team. I appreciate this. I like being very graphic and looking at a map. It helps me identify locations and maybe we scroll up a little bit. There we go. And it's showing you from the Palm Beach County line in the north all the way to the south. We've got about $787 million of projects programmed in the next 5 years. Jason did a nice overview of our widenings that are being planned. This summary of projects for District 4 is about $1.7 billion. So out of the 780 that we're seeing in Palm Beach County, I wanted to highlight some of the significant items. And so if you do want to take a look at some more details, I'd like to refer you to our website, floridasturnpike.com, where we do have a summary of these projects individually listed that you can look at your leisure, find some more info, you can find project manager contact names, that sort of thing. And of course, anytime there's a question, I'd be happy to answer them for you. So on our summary of projects, we start with Broward County. There's a significant investment there as we scroll down, putting money on the Turnpike and the Sawgrass Expressway. We start with Palm Beach County projects on page 7. The details there show the TSMNO, Transportation System Management and Operation effort, which is simply adding some auxiliary lanes to the Turnpike, making use of a little more of the shoulder, going from 6 to 8 lanes, one lane each direction from the county line up to Glades Road. As you're probably aware, we've been working from Boynton Beach Boulevard to basically Lake Worth Road, the service plaza, and that effort was funded in prior work programs. But what we see then going forward onto the next page is we're working on the segment from the service plaza north to Southern Boulevard. We program project engineering in the year 2023. The fiscal year 24 is where the construction funds are placed. We have a lot of effort and a lot of outreach that we're going to do on these widenings, and we're also going to do some interchange improvements. briefly, if you're using these interchanges, you might be interested in how we're going to address some of the congestion we're seeing. So starting with the Southern Boulevard State Road 98, US Highway 98, what we have there is we're going to add an additional lane, both north and southbounds on the exits. And we're going to put one in at the entrance southbound. This will lengthen the storage for cars in the eastbound turn lane to enter the turnpike. It's also likely we're going to work on the intersection to enhance it with additional turn lanes prior to finishing our design. Again, we'll be coming back with some requests for more input from the public on that. Going forward, we're also looking at Jog Road. It's not a complete interchange. It will hopefully become one. The design will include adding the to and from the north ramps. And so we're hopeful that'll relieve more of the Okeechobee interchange to the north. Maybe even some auxiliary lanes between those interchanges to assist with cars that want to go on and off. Okeechobee Boulevard. Most significant thing we're going to plan to do there is separate the northbound off-ramp. It's a challenge to get onto Okeechobee Boulevard in the direction you'd like to do. We're designing them so that the approach of those ramps will be on the right side if you want to go westbound and on the left side if you want to go eastbound, hopefully to eliminate the weaving movements that traffic has to make after you get out of the toll plaza. The toll plazas themselves are being removed with the all-electronic tolling effort. This is where we ask to make sure that people know you can pay your toll electronically. You don't have to pay it with an invoice. That's more expensive. And if you use a SunPass, you're going to save about 25% of the rate most of the time. So that gives us options to work with interchanges like these three to better move traffic through those tunnel or pinch points. It's like a funnel right there. Looking down at page 9, just to say, we've got a segment going north of Okeechobee Boulevard. The design on that is programmed for fiscal year 2024. We will also then, of course, within any widenings, look at qualifying noise walls that may be enhancing some of the sound barrier, the need for sound barriers that we're hearing from some of the residents and communities in this area. Then we have a project we're doing with the district, widening Beeline Highway, their project from North Lake to Blue Heron. We're participating in fiscal year 22 with almost $30 million to work on that bridge replacement at Beeline Highway, State Road 710, to accommodate the Turnpike's future widening. I've also got one more interchange to talk about south of here at Boynton Beach Boulevard. A lot of modifications there to help traffic move swiftly and safely. It will modify the northbound off-ramp to extend the lane, widen the ramp to two lanes. We're going to put in signal upgrades. We hope to work on the ramp terminal connection, do some work on Boynton Beach Boulevard. The westbound turn lane is going to be added to provide access to the northbound main line instead of having to wait to get to the light. And that's coming up soon. Fiscal year 22 is where we're going to start the design. We're doing some resurfacing for safety on the further north part of the turnpike. And we also are going to enhance our West Palm Beach Service Plaza. There are improvements needed there to increase parking spaces. We're going to add 30 northbound spots for cars and 35 southbound. That's a very busy plaza. We've also heard from the freight industry. Trucks are having difficulty finding places to stop and rest, which are mandated by their federal laws. We're adding some 15 truck parking spaces, and the very big tandem trucks, we're adding 50 feet for them to use for parallel truck parking. Still designing it, fiscal year 2022, and the big construction money is in fiscal year 2024. I have one more project to discuss quickly. It's called the crossover. Palm Beach TPA has always looked at the interchange at Indian Town Road, watching traffic connect between I-95 and the turnpike. So it's used so often that there's been a proposal for a crossover. This direct connect project is going to be jointly done with the district, FDOT district, because I-95 and the Turnpike run very close to each other. And that's why people use Indian Town Road to hop on and off one or the other. The challenge for us was where to put this proposed connection. As you know, Jonathan Dickinson State Park, we've got the Loxahatchee Wild and Scenic River to accommodate and leave pristine. We also are dealing with a large turnpike, Thomas C. Mann Bridge, goes over the Okeechobee Waterway. Because of those features, we're looking further north. It may be up in Martin County that this crossover ends up being near Martin Highway. But it's direct connect ramps. So just let traffic go in the directions that we see favorable. That funding was in fiscal year 2021. So we're working right now on the design. And we will come back and let you know about more public meetings and then public hearings as we go forward. I did hear a question about MCORs. And if you'll bear with me, I'll pull up some data from an excellent website. And I'd like to share that website with you, Florida, MCORES.com. There is no dash. And MCORES, what is that? It's a multi-use corridor of regional economic significance. Our legislature and governor signed this law in May of 2019 with more than 900 people a day moving into Florida. They're looking at finding safe and efficient transportation solutions. As well as the infrastructure, they're looking at broadband service, connecting corridors for wildlife, improving wastewater conveyances. So this is a multi-use, multimodal corridor. They're trying to do a good policy planning. So they've separated this corridor into three segments. Study areas have been working with task forces. Again, FloridaMCORES.com will show you the task force findings. These three independent task forces have elected officials, environmental, transportation experts, subject matter experts. They're setting up guiding principles. So they're evaluating these corridors. One's just north of the Turnpike up to our Suncoast Parkway. Another's in Collier and Polk County. And the final segment is called Suncoast Corridor. That pretty much touches Georgia from Citrus County, Jefferson, on the west side of our state in the middle of the panhandle. So where are we at on this? The alternative corridor evaluations are being done by the task force. Their full reports are coming in. However, there is no funding or timeframe for the PD&E, the project development and environment stage, where they study how to put this together. The right-of-way acquisition timing has not been planned. The construction funding has not been planned. But by legislation, the legislature asked in the act that this begin by December 31st of the year 2022. So if you have an interest, please do stay connected there. They're soliciting input at FloridaMCORES.com. And you can stay connected, see what public meetings are coming up. They've held a few. And there's a lot of FAQs there. I hope I haven't spoken too much on the topic, but it is a good question. And if there are any other questions, please let us know.
Okay. All right, staff, are there any public comments on this item?
No, Mr. Chair.
Do any committee members have any comments? I do.
Oh, I'm sorry, I muted myself. Yes. You and then Michael Fitzpatrick raised their hand.
Okay. My understanding is the MCORs are part of the Turnpike Enterprise, which means that all of the monies to build the MCORs will be provided by tolls on the current Turnpike or monies siphoned from the FDOT funding within the state of Florida. Could you explain the difference in monies doing it that way versus making it a normal Highway 95 type project on the funding for the project and the effect on the state of Florida?
Yes, sir, I'd be happy to speak to that. Thank you, appreciate the question. In layman's type terms, which is how I think, basically it's a separate pot of money There are some bonds that Florida's Turnpike has put out in the public market, and these are highly, the very highest rated type of quality bonds that are used by the Turnpike to fund projects, and they're backed by toll revenue. So by these covenants of the Florida Turnpike bonds, there are restrictions on the usage of the Turnpike tolls that exist now. So in other words, they're dedicated, that they're not able to be used in another means for this effort. But that is recognized by the groups that are studying it. We do have representatives from the Turnpike that are members of the team of the MCOR's study groups and doing all of their evaluations. But it is not strictly a Turnpike project, because of the fact that we do have toll revenue collection for all toll authorities in Florida. There are other types of toll entities. And because the Florida's Turnpike does do toll collections for bridges and other entities in Florida, it may have some management component. But right now, the task force has not identified using any Turnpike toll funds that are on existing facilities. I've made that clear. And looking right now at some FAQs, power planning and construction to be funded. It was outlined in the Senate Bill 7068, and it authorizes funding it by phasing it in. The revenue sources are more close to what the FDOT district uses. These include motor vehicle license fees. They're going to issue their own bonds and financing through the FDOT Financing Corporation. So that's very similar to how the Turnpike does fund its own projects. It's going to fund it through right-of-way and bridge construction bonds. And we are also then looking at some Turnpike revenue bonds that may be written specifically for this segment. There also might be public and private partnerships. So they are still trying to work through what are the costs of this corridor. So right now, they're still in the phase by law of looking to see if it meets environmental and financial feasibility, or we're not allowed to construct it. So that's where all these three different task forces are analyzing their findings and making them public on that website.
Let me follow up with a question more clearly stated. If this was funded as if it was 95, how many dollars or what percent of dollars would come from the federal government versus from the Turnpike Authority, all the other items that you represented?
Well, funding was outlined in the Senate bill, and of course—
No, you're missing the question. Question is, if this was funded as if it was an I-95 project, what percentage of funds would come from the federal government?
I'm not able to answer, but I can certainly ask the task force member to provide some clarification for us.
If you would please do that, I would appreciate it.
I know they do have a mandate not to divert funds from the FDOT's work program. It guarantees, these task force reports guarantee no projects that are programmed in FDOT's work program will be diverted, and it will require concurrence with MPOs and local land use authorities. So the actual amounts and will the projects go through have not been identified. So then it would be a matter of finding which programs funding might be available for in the federal government, and that may dictate how much would go back to the federal or from the federal government. But we'll get some clarification. Excellent question. Thank
you. Okay, then let me answer it more clearly. If you build a $100 million I-95, what percent of those funds come from the federal government?
All right, and if I may, I'll get back with the TPA staff, and they can distribute it back through the committee.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Michael,
you mentioned the Loxahatchee River and your talk about some of the improvements in the Jupiter. since the 1960s when I was a Boy Scout at Camp Tanakita. I've probably canoed under the turnpike 50 times. My question is, what are you doing there? Is it going to be any wider? There's something called something like the Ocean to Lake Trail, and I think it goes through that area to cross. And right now, there's a lot of protected land on either side of the turnpike and I-95, but there isn't much of a wildlife corridor. There isn't any wildlife corridor to connect them. So when you do any improvements, you did mention wildlife corridors. Is there going to be any wildlife corridor in the work at Jupiter?
Oh, thank you very much for the question, Mr. Fitzpatrick. We have recently been in touch with the trail group, Sally, I believe her name's Sally. I'm sorry, I'll have to pull that up. But she is a representative of that group that is working with the Ocean to Lake Trail. And they did make a specific request way back in the 90s and 2000s for a suspended pedestrian bridge of some type to facilitate movement underneath these two highways and in parallel with our Loxahatchee River. And it is beautiful, and us locals really enjoy being on it. So they have revived looking at that request back in the first years ago. Neither FDOT nor the Turnpike were able to facilitate based on our rules and regulations. We can enhance when it comes time as well for widenings. And with Turnpike's widenings, that's when this group from Ocean to Lake Trail reached out. There is an existing culvert that is a wildlife corridor. It is north of Loxahatchee River. I may be off on the distance. I'm thinking a little less than half a mile, it could be over. That has existed since inception. It is a maintenance and wildlife corridor. I believe there could even be a camera up there. I could try to get that info because FDOT tries to put little cameras on its wildlife corridors. It's intended to let people walk through there safely. Because it is underneath the facility, it's not impeding or any way endangering cars or pedestrians using it, or wildlife. So that is we had to fall back on that being the crossing that could be used by pedestrians, hikers, you know, that want to go underneath or cross parallel and trying to work it into their existing map. It's a big network of trails that Palm Beach County has right now up in that area. And it's astounding how well they're trying to place and connect them. But this is what we've had to fall back on, is that culvert to let wildlife and pedestrians pass under a little north of Loxahatchee River.
Okay, so you're talking, if you're coming from the Loxahatchee River, you got to walk a half mile north and then a half mile south to get back. So you're, okay, understood.
And yes, sir.
It's 12 feet wide or something?
I do have the dimensions in a correspondence that I can look up. My apology, I don't have it at my fingertips, but it is large enough for one of those half-track vehicles to get through and a person to walk through.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, thank you very much, Victoria, for your presentation. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to the answers to the questions that people have proposed.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. The next item is information items. There are no information items on this agenda. Administrative items. Summary points from the December 17th, 2020 Governing Board. This is an informational item. There are no staff presentations unless requested by a committee member. Are there any public comments on this item?
No, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. The November 2020 Public Involvement Activity Report. This is an informational item. There is no staff presentation on this item unless requested by a committee member. Are there any members requesting it? Are there any public comments on this item?
There are no public comments, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Our next CAC meeting is scheduled for February 3rd, 2021. Thank you for your patience with us as we conducted this meeting today. At this time, our committee meeting is adjourned. Thank you for attending. We look forward to seeing you in February. Thank you.